Welcome this evening for a night of honor. We gather here to honor those who have given much to friends, family, and country. As we begin with the singing of Battle Hymn of the Republic, we invite all veterans to stand as they hear their branch of the military announced throughout the song. Then remain standing as the rest of the congregation stands with you in saying the Pledge of Allegiance. Gentlemen, the United States Armed Forces. Please stand as we say the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Please be seated. How many times have we mouthed those words? In our youth, as school children, at sporting events, at annual celebrations like this? Hundreds? perhaps thousands of times, but how often do we really reflect on the nation and ideals to which we're really pledging our allegiance? We are a single nation composed of cultures and people as diverse as the land we inhabit, from the pine forest of California to the wheat fields of Ohio, from the green valleys of Tennessee to the snow-capped mountains of Colorado. We are one nation, united under one Creator and God, a God who delights in justice and truth, but tempers his judgment with mercy and gives grace to the humble. Will you pledge your allegiance today, not just to our nation, but to the God who founded it? Blessed beyond measure. Paul, in his first letter to Timothy, urges that entreaties and prayers, petitions, and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men, for kings and all who are in authority. These words were penned while the bloodthirsty Emperor Nero reigned in Rome, a man who set himself up as a god. For rulers such as these, the apostle charged his young friend to pray, to petition, and to give thanks. Why? So that we may lead a life tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. Paul knew the key to living a life that was pleasing to God was to pray for those in authority. How much more in this land of opportunity, a land founded on Christian principles, should we intercede for our government's leaders? Will you join me today in praying and thanking God for those he's placed over us? Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the blessings you have lavished upon this nation. We lift up the leaders you have appointed, asking for your hand of health to be on their bodies, for your grace to rest on their marriages and families, and for your wisdom to reign in their hearts and minds as they seek to know and to do thy will. Amen.
Every dream that they pray for us. She walked to the mailbox on that bright summer's day. Found a letter from her son in a war far away. He spoke of the weather and good friends that he made. Said, "I've been thinking about that and the life that he had. That's why I'm here today." And that in the end, he said, "You are what I'm fighting for." It was the first of the letters from war. She started writing, "You're good. A day she'll not forget. Oh, her tears stained the paper with every word that she read. It said, "I was up on a hill. I was out there alone when the shots all rang out. The bombs were exploding. And that's when I saw him. He came back for me. And though he was captured, a man set me free. That man was your son. He asked me to write to you. I told him I would, oh, I swore." It was the last of the letters from war. And she prayed he was living, kept on believing, and wrote every night just to say, "You are good and you're pulled in the driveway and she fell to the ground. And out stepped the captain where her boy used to stand. He said, "Mom, I'm following orders from all of your letters and I've come home again." He ran into
years ago, our spiritual fathers were found struggling under a harsh Egyptian sun, yearning for a land of promise, a land free from tyranny and the lash of the whip, a land of hope, a land of freedom, a land of possibility, and the Lord heard this cry. Through much hardship and the miraculous moving of God's hand, the children of Israel were delivered from their bondage and brought to the very edge of their promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey. But before they crossed over into the country which their fathers and grandfathers had only dared dream of, Moses stood before them and said, "Remember, when the Lord your God brings you into this land, into great cities which you did not build, remember. In your houses full of treasures which you did not make, Remember, when you drink from the wells that you did not dig, remember. When you eat and are satisfied by vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant, remember. And watch yourself that you do not forget the Lord who brought you from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. Teach these things to your children. Talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. Hundreds of years ago, our nation's fathers were found struggling under another form of bondage, yearning for a land of promise, a land free from tyranny and religious oppression, a land of hope, a land of freedom, a land of possibility, and the Lord heard their cry. Through much hardship and the moving of God's miraculous grace, our country's forefathers brought forth this new nation, conceived in liberty, a land rich in hope and prosperity. But how often do we exercise that liberty? How often do we take for granted the sacrifices of those who came before us? The God whose grace brought us these freedoms, have we taken time yet this year to remember? Children of Israel so long ago, let us also take time to remember the God who with his amazing grace brought us into this land of promise, Let's thank him for his faithfulness, for his undeserved goodness, and for the freedoms that we enjoy every day in America.
I've been asked just to say a few words, and I couldn't let an opportunity go by without thanking, first of all of you who have served in the military. And I want to thank all of your spouses who were patient, who were faithful, who prayed. Perhaps while there were many months of separation because of your service to our country. But you know, I couldn't take this moment without a reminder of why our nation is in the war it's in. I'm going to be honest with you, folks. We can't blame the Muslims. We can't blame foreign influences or oil barons. We have to place the blame squarely where it belongs, and that's on the church in the United States of America. The church in this day and age has gone to sleep. But there is great hope for our nation. And that hope is found in the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 7. If you want to take your Bibles and open up to it, there's a Bible there in the pew in front of you. You feel free to do that. I want to read a very short passage to you. that I want to talk for just a few moments. Then the Lord appeared to Solomon at night and said to him, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. If I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, and my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Now, my eyes shall be open and my ears attentive to the prayer offered in this place. For now I have chosen and consecrated this house, that my name may be there forever, and my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. You know, those are amazing words. And just as they were meant for the nation of Israel in that day, I believe that they are just as true for the United States of America today. The United States of America has embraced murder in this devastation called abortion. 54 million babies aborted. Innocent children never given the opportunity for life. While doctors, even parents, play God. Our nation has departed from God, even within the church, in the areas of compromise, where even within the church, they have begun to thumb their nose at God and at His Word and at His plans, and have begun to embrace things that God calls an abomination. But the unfortunate thing is that the modern day church says, it's just an alternative lifestyle. It's not the Muslims' fault. That's compromise within the church. The church has compromised from the positions of what the Scriptures really are. This book, many are just saying, well, it contains the words of God. But it is not the Word of God. When the reality is, the Bible is the Word of God. It is God's communication to you and to me as to how we might be able to live and how we might be able to honor God so that our nation can be protected. That 14th verse says, and my people who are called by my name. Who are the people called by the name of God, but they are the Christians? And so if the Christians will simply stand up for Christ, will simply take on their God-given authority to walk in faith, to walk in righteousness, to walk in holiness, if the church will get right with God, if the church will be the one to stand up and say, I will no longer allow devastation to take place in my nation because of my compromise. If the church will get right with God, then there's hope. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and seek my face and turn from their wickedness, my people, then I will hear from heaven. Then I will restore them. And the protective hand of God could once again be on the United States of America. Folks, we spend too much time pointing our fingers at foreign entities instead of looking at ourselves and saying, God, where have I fallen from? How can I get back? If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves, there's where it begins, a willingness to submit to the authority of God by acknowledging the wrongs that we have done. Not that everyone else has done, that we have done. If they shall humble themselves, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear their prayers. Folks, many times when the prayers of people are ascending, they ascend no higher than the ceiling. David declared, if I hide sin in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. If I regard sin, if I hide sin, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And you know what happened to Solomon in the very final moments of his life after he had compromised what God had declared him to do, and he had consulted with witchcraft and with a witch. When he had consulted that way, Saul on the very last night of his life said, God no longer speaks to me by dreams or by visions. Some of the most bitter words to ever escape the lips of an individual. A man who started out as a man after God's own heart. A man who sought wisdom, but who embraced compromise. God reaches out to the United States of America, and he says, if my people would just humble themselves, turn from their wickedness, stand up for what's right. Stand up for the truths of this book. Stand up for the uncompromising promises of God. And live according to the truth of this book. Then our nation has hope. You know where it can begin? It can begin in Faith Evangelical Church in Corry, Pennsylvania. It can begin in the Nazarene Church in Corry, Pennsylvania. It can begin in the United Methodist Churches in Corry. It can begin in the Baptist Churches in Corry. It can begin in the Catholic Church in Corry. It can begin wherever people will determine to humble themselves before God and turn their backs on wickedness and stand up for truth and for righteousness. Do we want our nation restored? If we do, we must be the people of God that He declares we should be. If my people will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. If you're part of God's kingdom, it's up to you. And it's up to me. The choir this evening has done an amazing job in a few short weeks of putting together this program. They've worked hard. But even in the choir, if they don't, as individuals, take seriously their responsibilities as believers, then they did nothing but sing words. But if they seek the face of God every moment and endeavor to live for Him in holiness, in righteousness, in true faith in Jesus Christ, if they determine to do that, God will heal our country. Folks, we must stand for what is truth. We must somehow pull together as churches, as believers, pull together for the cause of Christ in our community, in our county, in our surrounding area, and be what God has asked us to be, and that is true disciples of Jesus Christ. Would you please stand with me? This evening, we want to close this service with a prayer of gratitude for all that God has done for us in the past, but also with a prayer of hope for the future. And that prayer of hope only comes as we individually commit ourselves afresh to Christ. So I invite you, in your own heart, in your own way, to seek the face of God and ask Him to give you help, encouragement, strength, to fill you to overflowing with His Holy Spirit, with His wisdom, and with His discernment, so that you can make a difference in your family, in your neighborhood, in your community, and thereby make a difference in your nation. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, your word tells us that to whom much is given, much is required. And Lord, we know that it is faithfulness to you that you require that is far greater than sacrifice. And that, Lord, you would rather have us be faithful to you, to your will, to your plan, to your program. That you would rather have us honoring the name of Christian and not just taking it in name alone and then living like the enemy and his forces. Father, our nation is in a mess. We're losing out financially. We're losing out spiritually. We're losing out morally. We're losing out ethically. We're compromising on every corner as a country. We're dying. So, Father, I pray that your people will humble themselves, pray, seek your face, turn from our wickedness, so that you might be able to hear our prayers, that you might be able to bless us. And so, Father, may your Holy Spirit speak to each of us individually about the areas of our lives that we need to yield to you so that we may be able to continue to enjoy the freedoms that we have in this nation. Father, help us to be strong soldiers for your cause. Help us to be people of honor and integrity in our business dealings, in every aspect of life. Help us to be people who are so focused upon you that we don't have time to be distracted by the enemy and his forces. Lord, help us to be a people who honor the name Christian. Now, Lord, I pray that as we leave this place tonight, that we will leave here with a heart that is focused upon serving you and being able to make a difference in your fields. Father, we love you. We thank you for your love for us. Please give us hope. And we'll give you praise and glory and honor. For it's in your awesome and righteous name we pray and ask all of these things. And all of God's people said, amen. Once again, we want to thank you for being here. I'm going to ask if you could patiently wait while the choir dismisses. And they're going to go in the back, and I already feel the knives being stared at me, but they're going to be the ones to greet you at the door tonight. And so I'm going to ask the choir to leave now. Choir, leave now.